Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to show 158 of Absolutely Intercultural. My name's Anne Fox, and this show is coming to you from Denmark. In the last three shows, we've been hearing about corporate social responsibility, different attitudes to it, and how to promote it. In this show, we're going to move away from business and hear about a very special project which helps to globalise the attitudes of students of all ages.
My students lined up at my desk and said something like, you know, Miss Vicky, we've learned that you really can't judge people based upon their religion or their country. You have to learn to kind of get to know the person.
I'm talking about the Flat Class Project, which started in 2006 when two teachers, one in Bangladesh and one in the US, discovered they were both studying the same book with their classes and decided that it might be fun to link their classroom discussions together.
Some people say once you go flat, you never go back, because it's such an engaging, exciting way to teach and live.
The book was The World is Flat by Thomas Friedman, in which Friedman discusses the forces which are levelling the global playing field. The project has just grown and grown, with many more classrooms involved and different topics being explored, such as racism or digital identity. And now, 6 years later, the originators of the Flat Classroom, Julie Lindsay and Vicky Davis, have written a book to help teachers implement these global connections in their own classrooms. The book is called Flattening Classrooms, Engaging Minds. And I was lucky enough to be able to speak to the authors a couple of months ago when it first came out. By the way, in the 6 years since this show started, we have mentioned quite a number of books, and we've now collected them together in an Amazon store. So you'll find a link to this book and all the others on our website at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. You don't pay any more to buy them through our store, and every purchase contributes a little bit to the running cost of the podcast. So if you're thinking of buying, consider using our new store. So this show is going to be all about flattening classrooms, with the originators of the project, Julie Lindsay, now back in her native Australia, and Vicky Davis in Georgia, USA. And in between, we'll be hearing from some of the other teachers and students who've been involved. As you listen, you'll need to keep in mind that Illuminate refers to a live online conferencing tool. We start with a brief summary of what the Flat Classroom is all about by Julie Lindsay.
So Flat Classroom Project is based on The World is Flat, the concepts in The World is Flat by Thomas Friedman. But in particular, I'd like to focus on the Student Summit section of the project. And this is where we actually get classrooms together in real time. The project itself is essentially an asynchronous project using tools such as an educational network and a wiki. But throughout the project now, particularly this most recent project, we've been joining classrooms together in real time using our Illuminate virtual. We use the Student Summit idea in the virtual classroom is for students to showcase their learning at the end of the project. So we invite classrooms to run their own summits. We invite people internationally to come in. We try to get more than one classroom into the room at once so that there is still this cultural exchange and students can interact with each other and provide feedback to each other. And this is very successful as well in terms of the students having an authentic audience. They prepare a 2 to 3 minute presentation. They base it on they provide a collage, a JPEG file that they talk to, and they invite questions and interaction.
When I talked with Julie and Vicky, Julie started by telling me how the project began. So let's go absolutely flat.
The Flat Classroom Project is our first ever project that Vicky and I did together when we joined our two classrooms. And I was in Bangladesh at the time. This was starting in November 2006. And Vicky, of course, is in Camilla, Georgia, USA. And we based it on The World is Flat, the book The World is Flat by Tom Friedman. So we were at both of our classes were studying that book. We were both running sort of IT sort of computer classes and looking at the flatness that Tom talks about in that book. So we decided to harness the power of Web 2.0 technologies and join our students together using a wiki, using other tools for audio recording and sharing of media files, etc., so we could introduce ourselves and then do collaborative work via the wiki. And then we put together this project that allowed the students to not only collaborate in small teams via the wiki on certain topics, but also to produce a personal piece of multimedia as one of the outcomes based on their topic. But part of that multimedia had to have an outsourced clip from another student in the other class. So right from the very start, that project always had, we didn't just talk about the flatness that Friedman talks about in his book, we actually modelled them and lived them. And that project still exists in largely its original form now, that we run it two or three times a year. And at the moment we're running it, we've got about 400 or 500 students in it across, 15 or so classrooms, 20 classrooms. And it's just an amazing project. Vicky, anything to add?
Well, it's just about not just studying the world. It's about working with the world and collaborating. And these are things that you can't really teach unless you have the canvas of an experience behind it. So, for example, you have partners that maybe aren't collaborating like you would like. Well, how do you handle that? How do you reach out to them? So we're working to prepare students for a world where collaboration is essential, and being able to understand kids from other countries and work with people from other countries is essential. And the interesting thing is that really after about 2 weeks, we both observed some very profound changes in our students. My students lined up at my desk and said something like, Miss Vicky, we've learned that you really can't judge people based upon their religion or their country. You have to learn to kind of get to know the person. And, something similar was happening in Julie's classroom. And since then, we've had a researcher look into this. And the initial study found that ethnocentrism, which is pretty much the thinking of your ethnicity is sort of the most important or the only way to think, was actually minimized after about 2 weeks. And so we're finding that students can travel the world without leaving their classroom. And it's really bridging a divide in many ways to travel, and those who can still become very well educated about the world. So there's this whole byproduct besides the technology we're studying or the culture or whatever it is we're studying all the way from kindergarten all the way up now, of this whole worldview that sees outside of just your local community.
People involved are in all different countries, and their absolutely only means of communication is through digital media, and you called it the digital handshake. Can you tell me a little bit about what's behind that expression?
We start our community, which is built around a project, and we start the actual project with teachers and students creating this handshake. So it's really... You can visualize it. It's really putting your hand out, reaching out across the world and grabbing someone else's hand and confirming. It's this affirmation that there's somebody else there. And, of course, it has to be a two-way handshake, because if you reach out and, give something of yourself, you expect the other person to give something of themselves. So, this is what we encourage the students to do. Well, introduce yourself. In some way, a blog post, an audio file, a short video, and then respond when someone else introduces themselves. Make sure you respond to this introduction. Say, "Yeah, great! I loved your introduction." Or, "Gee, you like chocolate brownies as well," or something, and something like that. And then there's this confirmation at least that there's someone else on the other side of the world that is real, and that they can then build trust and a relationship to move through the project.
My name is Jerry Switek, and I'm a freshman geography teacher at Citrus High School in Inverness, Florida. And through Twitter, via Vicki Davis and Julie Lindsay, I found out about Flat Classroom and thought it would be a perfect opportunity for myself and my students. I could not have been happier with the results. My students were engaged the entire time. They were excited about what they were doing. They were thrilled working with students from all over the world. They enjoyed creating their videos at the end of the project. It was just an overall fantastic experience. Very funny story, in the last week of the project, we did an Illuminate session with a classroom in Germany. Even though it wasn't actually their classroom, because those students had the day off of school, but six of them agreed to connect from home to speak with my students. I asked those six German students if they could stick around and speak to my second class, who was not part of the project at all, and they agreed, and we had about a 45-minute fantastic conversation about what it's like to be a teenager in Europe. So not only were my students, my flat classroom students, engaged in the project, but through flat classroom, I was able to engage my second period students as well.
It's John Turner here from Doha in Qatar, just talking about student summits and the importance of them for letting students learn that other students are interested and that they give them respect because they share what they're learning. I found also that when my students presented, that adults came to have a new respect for them, and even the school principals would then come in and see the sort of things that we could be doing with the Web 2 and the flat classroom, which flowed on to other teachers and to other students.
There's lots of stories. I think one of the ones that pops to my mind, Vicky, was quite a few years ago when you had your class in Illuminate, with Terry Friedman in there. And, of course, coming from South Georgia, Vicky's students, the culture there, of course, in the USA, in that part of the USA, students, everybody would say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, etc. And remember, Terry Friedman, of course, is based in the UK. You may know Terry, Ann. Mm. And I think he was a bit taken aback, wasn't he? He sort of thought they were, well, what we say in Australia, taking the mickey out of him and being a bit rude, in fact. And he was, I think he mentioned it, and Vicky saying, no, that's just our culture. So that was one little interesting thing.
Well, and you know, we were linked up with, I think this was one of our first ones, Julie. And we had a young man and a young lady who were on a team, and my young man from the United States, of course, what are you doing this weekend? And trying to get to know, what do they do with their family and that sort of thing. And Julie overheard the student talking, and in this particular instance, it was not appropriate for a young man outside the family to ask about social interactions inside the family with a young lady, that was considered very inappropriate and rude. And so, my students learned that, there's certain things that you have to be very careful with your social boundaries, particularly with male-female relationships, until you understand the particular culture of a person. And you can't determine the culture based upon just somebody's country. You've got to understand a little bit about, what's your religion, what circles do you go in, and that sort of thing, so that you can understand about the culture. We've even had things like, we're pretty open with allowing our students to talk about different topics. And there have been times when students have broached a topic that would be considered taboo in another country. So, for example, if somebody talked about abortion, that's completely illegal in Pakistan, even mentioning the term. And the students in Pakistan wouldn't even be able to participate if that term was even used. And in the Middle East, anything to do with alcohol, even photographs of any kind of alcohol, would be appropriate, as well as mentioning, swine. You can't really here somebody might say, you pig, and oh my goodness, that would just be such a horrible affront, as well as some countries in Europe in terms of profile pictures. Some places, it's very important for women to have their arms covered. And so we've kind of adopted a policy of pretty much everybody should have their arms covered, or at least their upper arms covered, in their profile pictures, because some places, we had a student who had a picture and she was looking over her bare back, looking at the camera. And that was offensive to some places. So you kind of have to get to this place where you have an open dialogue about cultural disconnects, so that you're willing to bring them out on the table. And the elephant in the room has to be brought out. You can't have teachers who are just going to push it aside, because if there's a cultural disconnect happening, that's part of the education process.
So how does that happen? Do you, for example, do you let the students stumble and then talk about it, or do you issue guidelines beforehand, or is it a mix of both?
Well, we have guidelines, but we have a teacher's Google group for all of our projects, which is sort of our first line of defense. So when we notice something, we say, hey, you know, I just want you guys to know that this particular conversation is somewhat, you know, all over the edge, or this is a problem. And usually we've had to ban, what, maybe 4 or 5 students, Julie, out of, I don't know, 6 or 7,000 now, when it's really something significant. But typically we can go to the student and say, you know, this particular conversation, this is what's happened, or this is how it could be construed. Do you really want to keep this forum open, or do you really want to keep this photo up, or do you really want to continue this conversation? And typically the student will self-regulate and realize, you know, there's an implication here that maybe this profile picture is something I shouldn't have, or maybe this thing I've said is really offensive and I shouldn't say it. We're usually able to talk through those, we call them teachable moments, and sometimes they can be embarrassing for the teacher because a teacher, you know, a student may have really made a mistake, and it happens all the time. I mean, it's happened to me at least, for sure.
We have 2 classrooms here from the Osama bin Zayed School in Oman and from Hamburg, Germany, special class for computer science from the Wichern-Schule. We have a number of presentations today, so we can go straight over to Mazin from Oman.
Hello, I am Mazin Bustani. I am 15 years old. I live in Adam. I go to Adam School and I am in grade 10. I joined this project because I want to get new skills and to improve my English. Also, I want to make a friendship with other people.
I also just read in your book that you reckon that one project is not enough. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Well, we find that new teachers who come into our projects, it's quite a steep learning curve, unless they're already quite connected educators already. And, you know, as we've already said, we do ask for connectivity. We do ask them to help build the community, develop their personal learning networks through the project, through the connection with other educators in the project. And then, of course, one of the main things that people say to us is, oh, there's so many places to join. I've got to join the Wiki, I've got to join the Google group, I've got to join the NING, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, in a regular connected Web 2.0 educator's life, this is no big deal. But, of course, for many teachers who are not Web 2.0 savvy very much or that connected, it is a big deal. So, you know, we bring them into these projects and they sort of get through it at the end and think, oh, gee, that was really good. Okay, I'm ready for the next one now. Okay, so that's why we say one project's never enough. The second one, they always, you know, come in and go, yes, I know what's going on now, so I'm going to, you know, grab hold of this one and run with it.
And so it's for the teacher's sake that you say that. Is it also true for the students?
Well, you know, I have it so that my students have 3 global collaborative projects that they participate in by the time they get through with my year and a half of courses. And for me, I see a real learning curve that by the time we're done, they really understand how to collaborate. I was just looking on our NetGen project. This is the 3rd project for some of my 10th graders. And out of the top 10 contributors, 4 of those 10 are actually my students, which of course makes me proud. But I think that that's something that they learn. That is a habit. That is a habit that they know they need to go in and edit. They know they need to go in and contribute. They know they need to go in and converse. And last night on the NetGen project, I actually teach my own children. So I have 3 kids. And my daughter is one of the project managers for NetGen. So they had a student meeting last night. And she and I sat down at the table. And she said, Mom, the question that we are discussing tonight is how can we give some sort of social peer recognition to help students really understand what's going on the Wiki and how to edit? And we had a really interesting conversation for about 30, 45 minutes of, okay, you can't say that some kids are just going to get it and some aren't. How can you motivate the kids that are kind of in between? And how can you, and it's just kind of now going to a totally different level that we couldn't go to if a student had just participated once. They can become leaders, and this is something we want to integrate into all of our projects, is having student leaders, because that's what we call a level 5 global collaboration in our our five ways that you can collaborate globally, is that we actually have students run the projects, which is where we want to get to, because then you have student leaders, and it really takes you places that we as teachers couldn't even imagine. You know, it's time to have the habits and the methods in place that we know work, but then to take it to the next level and really engage this generation to be part of their learning. And, you know, we're so much in the infancy of where this needs to be, but it's so exciting. Once you go, some people say, once you go flat, you never go back, because it's such an engaging, exciting way to teach and live.
It's this global approach which I think distinguishes the flat class from the many other very worthy classroom collaborations going on all over the world, usually using free tools such as Skype and Wikis. To find out more, you just need to Google flat class. But if you go to our website at www.absolutely-intercultural.com, you'll find the main links as well as where to find the video from which I used extracts. And you can also see what's on our Absolutely Intercultural Amazon store. You can also leave comments on our blog or on our new Facebook page, where we tend to give some additional links in between shows. Our next show will be coming to you from Germany with Laurent Borgmann on October the 5th. So until then, stay tuned or visit us on our Facebook page.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.